July the 4th, Independence Day in the United States, Election Day in the UK. Polling stations opened at 7 a.m. They'll close at 10 p.m. And by this time tomorrow, it's widely expected that Keir Starmer will be the first Labour leader to get ready to take up residence in Downing Street for 14 years. Here's what voters in Nottinghamshire in England had to say on their expected new Prime Minister.
The difference there'll be with a Keir Starmer Prime Minister to what we've had over the last 14 years, and that, of course, is comparing him with five prime ministers, is beyond compare, really. He's going to be a fantastic prime minister, leading a fantastic party and an even more fantastic government.
It's time for change. I think local services have been decimated by the Tories. And Keir Starmer, I think we need to give this guy a chance. It's got to be better. Things have got to be better than what we've sort of experienced for the past 14 years.
Just a bit grey. It's just a bit monotone. A bit like me, probably. There's no real spark there. Not in the same way that someone like Tony Blair had a spark. But I think he could be quite an efficient Prime Minister without being flashy. So, you know, fingers crossed.
That's voters in Nottinghamshire in England speaking about what they expect from their new Prime Minister this morning. Let's go to London and talk with Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor of the Financial Times. Lucy, I don't know if you heard those voxes. At least two of them sounded remarkably like the Labour leader, the expected new Prime Minister. It's been a long campaign.
A long campaign, and in fact a pretty airless, very tightly controlled one from the two main parties, certainly. Yes, they've been out, meeting voters, but only in the most stage-managed context. You know, businesses checked out in advance where employees had to sort of stand around and listen while, you know, their bosses watched on. I don't think either Keir Starmer or Rishi Sunak dared walk down High Street and engage with voters in a spontaneous context. So I think that's one reason it's felt like a very long 6 weeks.
Will people come out and vote?
Well, it's a very good question. I mean, we are expecting potentially pretty low turnout today, and indeed possibly the lowest combined vote share for the two main parties in 100 years. Some suggestions it could be as low as 60-65% between Labour and the Conservatives. So there is a feeling that what's on offer is not really exciting voters. We may see people look to the smaller parties, those who do decide to turn out. But in one sense, I think that is perhaps what happens after a period of low growth, when public finances are tight and people are not feeling particularly inspired about some of the choices facing the next government, whoever enters Downing Street tomorrow.
Yeah, whoever. But I mean, the outcome isn't really in any doubt, though, Lucy, is it?
Well, no, it's not. I think we are all preparing for a Labour government. I've been speaking to civil servants about how they've been preparing. And while, of course, they are studiously neutral in political terms and have to do a little bit of preparation on what they call their blue packs in case there is a miraculous recovery, for the Conservatives and the polls are completely confounded, they've spent most of the past 6 weeks preparing for a Labour government too. I think the question now is just what kind of scale of majority it is. There's a really big range in all the MRP mega polls that have been out in the last week. So that's the key question. We'll be all waiting for the exit poll at 10 p.m. and then for the results themselves to roll in through the night.
Yes, but whether Labour win by 50 seats or by 300 seats, does it make any difference to what sort of administration they will run?
Well, I think it does. You know, if it's a very small majority, Labour will be hostage to its left-wing flank, potentially. It will have to, govern more cautiously. If they are kind of unleashed with a majority, you know, that outstrips Tony Blair's in 1997, where he got a majority of 179, that will just, allow Keir Starmer, to really forge ahead with a bold programme for government. You know, that will empower him with a mandate for significant change.
Who are you expecting to lose their seats?
Well, it's certainly going to be an exciting night of potential Portillo moments. Those that we think are on a knife edge include Jeremy Hunt in Surrey, his Godalming and Ash seat. Even Liz Truss in Norfolk, once considered a very safe seat indeed, is now said to be potentially in balance. I'll be looking out early doors just after midnight for what happens in Basildon and Billericay, where the party chairman, Richard Holden, is standing. And then closer to home for me in London, in Islington North, big question about whether Jeremy Corbyn, standing as an independent in this election, can beat Labour.
The performance of the Liberal Democrats and Reform, what are you expecting?
Well, let's see. You know, the polls suggest that Nigel Farage is on track to win his first seat to Parliament. This is his eighth attempt standing for a Westminster seat. You know, some of the MRPs suggest they may get none. Some suggest it could be five or six. As for the Lib Dems, could be a high watermark of recent years for them. You know, they are polling at around 12% in the polls, and the MRPs suggest it could be a fairly proportionate share of seats that they could get. They could get around 12% of seats on offer. So they're certainly looking to do far better than the dismal 11 seats they won in 2019.
If, as the polls expect, this is going to be the biggest swing or change in Parliament in over a quarter of a century, is Britain going to change much as a result, do you think, Lucy?
Well, look, we'll have to see. You know, Keir Starmer is sort of banking everything on growth, being able to grow the economy with a bunch of supply side chains, changes to planning reforms, making it easier and quicker to build infrastructure, build housing. You know, he's trying to make an attractive environment for private investment. All that will depend what he can do. He needs to grow the economy in order to be able to have some money to, you know, plunge into public services and to drive some of the missions that he set out, you know, heading into this campaign. So it's going to be a tricky time for him. He said he won't raise taxes, he won't raise borrowing to fund day-to-day spending, and he won't return to austerity. At present, you know, there needs to be some kind of massive, miraculous level of growth in order to square that circle, or else he's going to have to fall back on one of those three options.
Listeners old enough to remember the last time that Labour ended Conservative rule will remember the kind of celebrations there were when Tony Blair led Labour to victory in 1997. Are we expecting to see those types of celebrations tomorrow?
Let's see. I mean, there hasn't been the kind of buzz around Keir Starmer that there was around Tony Blair, has there, by any stretch of the imagination? That said, you know, Labour is a large kind of membership organization. You know, there are thousands and thousands of members in London, so I expect we will see scenes of a pretty jubilant rally in the capital, if not widespread across the country in the early hours of tomorrow.
Lucy Fisher, Whitehall editor of the Financial Times, thank you. And a reminder that we'll get the first major indication as to where the election might go in the UK at 10 o'clock tonight with an exit poll that will be covered on prime time. There'll be overnight programmes on RTE Radio 1 and RTE Television. And in the morning, Morning Ireland will broadcast from 6 o'clock with Anya in London, Audrey in Belfast and Mary here in Dublin. There'll be up-to-the-minute results and dedicated Britain and Northern Ireland live blogs on the RTE News app and online, and we'll bring you reaction and analysis to tomorrow at 1.